I think that's the disservice of like the traditional finance world, is there's just like this cookie cutter way of doing everything and you completely expose yourself.
Man, listen, I need to befriend Musk because I need to get off this planet at this point, right? Like, take me to Mars. I am done.
These are the signs of the end, man. This is the end. This is what the end looks like. Nothing makes sense. Absolute chaos. It's like living in Gotham City.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Rick and Tony are here with me. Gents, let's jump into the news. We've got a video to watch. Billionaire Dan Moorhead says that the U.S. should go digital.
I think that is actually a really important thing. When you're the reserve currency of the world, you don't have somebody else's currency to save in. So the United States doesn't have another currency. It stores $600 billion in gold, which is a staggering amount. It's equivalent to 11 million years of American worker wages. So that's kind of crazy. Go to digital gold. Bitcoin is much better. And so I do think it's totally rational. The U.S. already owns 1% of the world's Bitcoins. Keep that, increase that. So I do think it is actually a really good policy. There's a couple countries that already do own Bitcoin. It'd be great for the U.S. to get out in the lead.
All righty, Tony, I'll let you take this one first. We have a billionaire that seems to understand what's going on. What are you thinking?
Well, it's definitely bullish, man. When you've got smart people, you know, coming out in public and saying, you know, intelligent things like this, makes me happy. The U.S. is definitely in a unique position to do this. But, you know, I mean, what are they going to do with all this gold? I mean, this whole hoarding of gold always used to make me laugh because it seems to be, you know, favored by those that are stuck in the past. You know, like there's a certain group of people, you know, that I've, you know, known the history of gold for 5,000 years as, you know, store of value. And okay, sure, there's some credence to that. But, you know, we live in the tech world now, in the tech age. You know, like how long are you going to hold onto something that's, you know, clearly defunct now? Bitcoin is the new version of gold, except it surpasses that exponentially, you know, more than just a store of value and, you know, the scarcity and all that fun stuff that comes with Bitcoin. But you've got a large number of people that are still, for whatever reason, maybe it's laziness, maybe it's afraid of the tech, whatever it may be, that are just shying away from it for their own personal reasons. I think it's a waste of resources, it's a waste of time. There's a lot more benefit to, you know, moving forward with something that, you know, that is where the world is headed. It's almost like those people back then, you know, when that were stuck on the candles and on the horses, you know, when electricity and cars started to come about, you know, there was always like the majority initially, no, we don't need this. You're either going to get electrocuted or you're going to get killed in one of these cars. They're like walking bombs, you know, like all sorts of nonsense. I compare, you know, the whole gold fan club to something like this. It's not going to work. You know, Bitcoin is the future. You know, it's permissionless, trustless. You can actually pay someone with it. You don't have to, go through all sorts of hoops to do it. Like, how are you going to pay somebody with gold? You're going to attach it to a pigeon and send it out and hopefully it lands, you know, where you want it to go. It's just not going to work. So yeah, definitely sell the gold. It's used for, it has its purpose, but definitely not to take the world into, you know, the new age that we're heading into. Permissionless, neutral money. That's where it's at.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's interesting. You know, a lot of these guys, certainly the financial types, I mean, they read incessantly. Like they wake up and they've got five newspapers that they're sifting through, checking headlines. They're, you know, reading a lot of books. I understand why some of them haven't gotten to this point where they understand and appreciate Bitcoin because they have a financial interest in not understanding it. And that's something we talk about a lot, I think. But there are a lot of guys who they're just trying to generate yield or a return of some kind, you know, like they're trying to make sure that next year they're wealthier than they are this year. And it's like they haven't picked up one book to understand what he's talking about here. It's just fascinating to me that we have relatively so few of these people. It's a growing number, but relatively few. Rick, I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, interesting, right? He certainly seems to understand what's happening here. The first thing I'd comment on is he said something really interesting, which was this $600 billion worth of gold is the equivalent to 11 million years of workers' wages. And straight away, my intuition just said, hang on, how can that 11 million years, a long, long time, right? So I divided 600 billion by 11 million, And the answer you get is 55,000. So I just think for a bit of clarity there, it's not 11 million years worth of everyone's earnings. It's like 11 million years of one worker's earnings, right? Which is still a fantastically huge number. But at first I was a bit confused by that, but it makes a bit more sense now. But he goes on to say that, you know, Bitcoin is much better than gold. And, you know, of course I agree with him. I think what's interesting is, you know, we've had a really good example of that recently, which is, you know, Elon and Doge saying, oh, you know, let's go and audit Fort Knox and see if the gold is actually there. You know, and here's the interesting thing about that. Like, imagine Elon does go into Fort Knox and he takes a camera crew with him, right, to film everything and live stream it so you can all verify it. The question is, that's not really that good a way of verifying anything, right? Because these gold bars could have tungsten in them. They could be not pure gold, right? To really test them, you'd have to test each individual bar, maybe use acid and all these other techniques that you can use to verify them. So straight away, it shows you that Bitcoin's far superior to gold because the whole network is verified every 10 minutes, right? So it's a far superior asset to gold. And then it's more portable, right? You can take it across borders really easily. You know, gold is heavy. It's a real pain in the butt to move around. It's easier to transact with, right? If I want to send 10 bucks worth of Bitcoin to Tony, that's really easy to do. But if I had a gold bar sitting on my desk and I wanted to send $10 worth to Tony, well, I better get my smelting kit out, right? And melt this thing down and then weigh it out. You know, it's cumbersome. It's just dated technology, right? It's also harder to keep safe, right? Like if I have a gold bar under my bed and the government decide they want it, you know, we're only a SWAT team away from me losing my gold. Whereas, you know, with Bitcoin, you can store this information in your head if you want to. You can make it infinitely more difficult for the state to take away from you. So yeah, Bitcoin wins. And this guy's absolutely right. I'm sure a lot of people who watched his segment think he's absolutely out of his mind. But to your point, Michael, he's clearly read the books and done the research. And I think people forget just how early we are. This all seems quite obvious to us, right? But when you consider that less than 2% of the population probably use Bitcoin or interact with it, you realize that we are maybe still a decade ahead of everybody else catching up to this way of thinking. But those are the types of people who are going to figure it out first, because it's A, in their interest more than everyone else. B, like you say, they get up and they read all the books and it's their job to be clued in and tuned into things. And the masses, unfortunately, will be, as per usual, the Johnny come latelys, and you know, they should have been getting involved over the last 10 years, right? That was the real opportunity. I think the opportunity still exists now, but yeah, you're going to find more and more billionaires coming in and making that window of opportunity close quicker and quicker every year.
Absolutely. Okay, up next, we've got, speaking of gold, we have gold prices are surging. So gold hit all-time high of over $3,000, I think yesterday, maybe 2 days ago now. We're recording this on the 14th of March, just for context. The interesting thing here, there was a tweet in this thread that said, gold has become the global safe haven trade above U.S. Treasury bonds. Why is this the case? The U.S. spending is now, this is crazy, 44% of GDP per year, the same levels as World War II. Deficit spending has made U.S. government bonds less safe. The interesting thing, and this is like this, I don't know how to say it because I don't read this, the Kobesi letter, I'm sure that's wrong. I think it's like a pretty traditional, you know, finance letter. They're evaluating, you know, investment vehicles and not thinking about the next form of money when the dollar dies or when any fiat currency dies. But it really is interesting that people who investors who do understand the use case for gold in inflationary environments as a store of value, all of those good things, they like, that's what they're flocking to. They're sniffing out something in the economy, in the market, and are anticipating, and they don't understand Bitcoin yet, or else they'd be flocking to the faster horse. But it makes me wonder what's coming here in the next few months, year, couple of years, what we have on the horizon. Tony, I'll let you take this one first, because I think you have your thesis for what's going to be playing out.
Well, you're absolutely right. Their sixth sense is spot on. They know something really bad is coming. And so they're flocking to the only thing they understand. That's why gold is surging. It's not because it's better than Bitcoin. It's because a lot of people simply understand it and know how to manage it, you know, more comfortably than they do Bitcoin. But all in all, the underlying message is there's a storm coming and you need to do something. Like, you need to have an insurance policy of some sort in order to weather that storm. My thesis was like, the financial system is going to collapse. I mean, after what happened to me in Lebanon, once I really understood, you know, how the money system works and how it's all rigged and how it's all, how I blew up, it was very clear to me that this was it's just a question of time before this comes everywhere. And so, you know, with the debt unsustainable, first of all, in the US, and if you just follow, you know, global news, like, for example, what's going on in Europe now, you know, with the whole confiscation of people's savings, well, people have to do something. Those that are like tuned in, you know, they're reacting. Gold seems to be like the instinctive asset to go to right now. But, you know, as you said, as people understand Bitcoin more, it's definitely the faster horse. And it's going to be an extremely easy decision to just dump gold and move into something that's going to leapfrog it on so many levels. But yeah, unfortunately, there is bad news coming. I think it's coming very soon, unfortunately. I hope more people start paying attention to this, because it's whining and complaining about, you know, prices getting higher is not going to make things better, you know. So you have to save yourself, because nobody's coming for you otherwise.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is, Tony, like, you have very firsthand experience, and so it stands to reason why you would feel the way you do. What's been really interesting to me is to hear very thoughtful, like, more financially minded folks talk about, something's going to be upended in the next decade. Like, Parker Lewis thinks the next 10 years, the dollar is no longer what we perceive it to be today. I heard someone else who seemed real thoughtful on a podcast recently say, yeah, like, in 20 years, you know, obviously we're going to have a whole different monetary reset. It's just, we can't continue with what we're doing. And so for anyone who thinks that, you know, Tony's opinion, anyone listening who thinks Tony's opinion is just because of, you know, obviously a horrific experience, there are a lot of people who are looking at this from a financial perspective. Like, the maths, as Rick would say, just don't add up. And we're headed towards something ugly. And it's interesting to see people figuring this out, but they're unfortunately picking, I think, the wrong medium of savings. Rick, what's your take here?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, there's been a lot of interesting stuff going on around gold recently, right? You know, as we mentioned, you got Elon Musk saying he's going to go and audit Fort Knox. So there's a lot of interest there. A few weeks ago, we saw that a lot of people were trying to take their physical gold out of the Bank of England. I think quite a lot of it actually was getting repatriated to the United States. But what was interesting about that story is how quickly the Bank of England got to a position where they couldn't honor these withdrawals straight away. Now, I don't, you know, have no idea if they have the gold or not. Like we said earlier, gold's very hard to move around, so there's almost certainly some logistical aspects to it. But there was definitely delays of like weeks on end where, you know, they couldn't honor these withdrawals and stuff. And that certainly gets you thinking. And I think they mentioned it in that tweet thread as well. Like, India have been acquiring a lot of gold. China have been acquiring a lot of gold. I'm pretty sure Russia has as well. So you're just seeing this global flight towards gold. And I think the main thing driving that is people are kind of calling bluff, I think, a little bit on all of this bullshit that's going on, right? Because typically gold will appreciate massively in value in an environment where there's low interest rates, right? Because it means they're printing a load of dollars. You don't want to sit in dollars. So you go and find a hard asset like gold to try and protect your wealth. But now, you know, rates are pretty high and people are still flocking into gold. So it's fairly unprecedented. And I think that's because they've realized, like, man, the US government's like insolvent. Why would I want to buy like US treasury bonds? Like, I can't even beat inflation with the interest that they'll pay me on those bonds. So that's a losing position. So, you know, desperate to avoid all of this nonsense, I think people are now rushing headlong into gold. And link back to the first discussion we had, you know, very few people genuinely, like, I know in our little bubble, Bitcoin seems like the most important thing. It's all we talk about every single day of our lives. But for most people, Bitcoin's just not really properly on their radar yet. So you're going to have countless millions of traditional investors that are getting spooked. And where we would think the logical answer is to rush in towards Bitcoin, they're going to go into this more analog route because, well, they trust it. They think they understand it better. Nobody wants US debt. Everybody wants hard assets and gold. And the crazy thing is, it only takes time. It only takes time for people to get more exposed to Bitcoin, to understand it, to start weighing up the pros and cons between gold and Bitcoin, which means inevitably, as time progresses, more and more people are going to figure out that the real flight to quality is Bitcoin. So, you know, all of this crazy money running into gold now, you can expect that at some point in the next 5 or 10 years, as more people figure this out, it's going to start flowing towards Bitcoin. I had a really interesting theory recently, which suggested that, you know, someone like Donald Trump would be desperate to see yields come down, right, on government debt. And he'd like to see the stock market cool off a little bit so that they can start printing money again. And maybe that's why he's running around placing tariffs, taking tariffs off, placing them on, taking them off, to just maybe spook the markets and have everybody panic and run back into U.S. treasuries and bonds and things like this for safety. But maybe what the miscalculation here was that nobody ran back towards US treasuries. They all ran to gold instead. So I don't know. All I could sort of say is, look, nobody knows the future, but you can feel it. You can feel these machinations of change going on beneath the surface, right? People are losing faith in government bonds. They're losing faith in fiat currencies. They're looking at things like gold, and it's almost inevitable. It won't be long till they look at Bitcoin as well. So yeah, crazy world we live in.
It's wild. All right, next. Sits a little closer to home for you guys. Time to get your money out of the EU. This is a kind of a long tweet, but basically our dear friend Ursula von der Leyen, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong too. She said, blah, 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 we'll turn private savings into much needed investment. And it sounds like part of this is to help bolster defense in the European Union. So I don't know how to interpret this, but it's the Twitter's in an uproar over it. It kind of sounds like they're just going to like take people's savings, because who needs private savings? And they're going to use it to invest in whatever the hell they want. Rick, I'll let you take it first. I'm curious. I know you're not in the EU anymore, but I know you're trying to get out of that general vicinity.
Man, listen, I need to befriend Musk, because I need to get off this planet at this point, right? Like, take me to Mars. I am done. Look, it'd be really easy to get like really hyperbolic about this, right? Because, hey, listen, it looks exactly as you've described it, where they're just like, well, we're broke, but we still want to fight the Russians for some insane reason, right? So we're just going to take your money, buy a load of guns with it, cause a huge mess. The mind boggles. I mean, the first thing that's obvious is coming out and saying that savings are unproductive or unuseful in some way is just, I mean, this is classic 1984 doublethink, isn't it? You know, they want to go to war to promote peace. Now war is peace, and savings are unuseful, right? They're twisting all of this to get to what they want. But it should terrify anybody with money in the EU, in an EU bank, or, man, even, I'll go as far as to say it, right? Like, your Bitcoin custodied at an exchange, and you're a European customer, right? How long until they say that, your Bitcoin investment or savings is now unproductive, and we're going to use your Bitcoin to buy some guns as well? It's terrifying. The EU is on some mad, mad mission towards full-scale communism, and I think a lot of people are going to get completely wiped out. Look, it's just the perfect advert for Bitcoin and taking self-custody, reducing your counterparty risk to zero. Anybody selling you anything that's like a diluted version of that, right? So like trust an exchange, or, you know, when banks can custody Bitcoin, use them, or, you know, dare I say, even collaborative custody, right? Because you give up all your privacy, your assets are now visible to the state. In some cases, in those scenarios, they're accessible to the state. Man, listen, you got to get your wealth far, far away from the politicians. The furthest place you can take them is to self-custody your Bitcoin. And then you really want to be working on your cybersecurity, your privacy, all of this stuff, because we're entering a part of a game where holding onto wealth is going to get increasingly more difficult in protecting your wealth. So Bitcoin is the best tool to do that. If you want any chance of surviving what's coming, you've really got to figure this out. Get your Bitcoin and look after it yourself. There's no other way.
Yeah, I think you hit on a really important point, and that is, I think people need to, there are a lot of Bitcoiners who aren't taking Bitcoin seriously enough. Like, there are better ways to be a Bitcoiner, and many people are settling for some of these arrangements that you discuss. But if you can get a hold of some no KYC Bitcoin, if you can take it into full self-custody, that is a very different arrangement and a very different protection that you've provided for yourself than all of the things that you hear kind of out on the market more generally. That's why we do what we do. Tony, I imagine you probably don't have a lot of private savings that would be accessible to to the European Union, but I'd love to hear your take on this.
This is a terrifying message. I've been warning about this for 2 years, that at some point they're going to just come straight out and steal your money. And this is exactly what they're about to do here. So every European citizen should be breaking a sweat, like, for real. This is not a drill anymore. I mean, they've made it a public statement that they're just going to take your savings because they're useless sitting there, you know, waiting for your retirement, for you to decide what to do with them. They're just going to take them and do whatever they want with them. But it really shouldn't be of any surprise to anyone. I mean, what is fiat, right? Fiat is a product, you know, created by essentially thieves, you know, designed to steal, censor, and control. It's their product that they've somehow managed to sucker us all into believing had value for decades. So you're using a thief's product. So if they want to take it back and do whatever they want with it, well, they can. They've built the rails to allow them to do just that. But you have, you know, freedom of choice at this point. Either ignore this, think it's some sort of like, whatever, or take it seriously and opt out into something that no one can take away from you and start, you know, taking the whole Bitcoin self-custody process seriously. The thing is, we live in an echo chamber here, you know, like all of us are just in this tiny little circle in social media or X or whatever. Just step out into the real world, and nobody has a clue. Like, they're like galaxies away from any sense of reality or any sense of danger. They think, you know, they know things suck. They just don't understand why and how and what to do about it. And if you try to explain it to them, you know, they look at you with all sorts of question marks. So I'm not really sure how this is going to play out, but I fear that a lot of people are going to get, you know, seriously wrecked and hurt financially because of this. It's almost unavoidable, unfortunately. So Bitcoin and self-custody, man, there's like, sooner or later, people are going to learn this lesson. My hope was that they learn it, you know, the less painful way, but it seems like, you know, human nature tends to prefer the more, you know, the more archaic and painful approach.
Yeah, I cut out there for a minute, gents. I don't know if I disappeared on your screen, but hopefully I'm back in action. All the points you made, I think, are important, and it's my hope is that these sorts of conversations are the things that at least get people to take that first step. Like, what are they talking about? What's going on? There are so many good books, resources, and you know, you don't have to go all in at once, but you do need to start learning and taking some ownership. I think that's the disservice of like the traditional finance world, is there's just like this cookie cutter way of doing everything, and you completely expose yourself to any, you know, a 6102, you expose yourself to, we're going to take private savings because it's unproductive or whatever. So scary times. Let's hit on this last one real quick, guys. So we've got the, there's a new token. I think it's built on Solana. ICE, I can never remember what it stands for, but it's basically the guys who are sending illegal immigrants back to their home countries here in the United States. You can get rewarded for turning in or for reporting suspicious activity, is basically the story. And so instead of giving you money that you could go do something with, they're giving you tokens that will never be useful in any way. And I've got, as an American, a lot of concerns about this. First of all, it sounds like something that would happen in like communist, the Soviet Union or something, like turning your neighbors. It's what we were doing during COVID. Like, you know, tell us if someone's not following the rules or whatever, which is really scary. But second, it's like, it's just, they're shitcoining also. It's like, they're like adding layers of stupidity to an already horrible concept. So I don't know what to do with this. Fortunately, I don't have anyone to turn in. I don't know anyone who I think might be suspicious or anything, but tell me why don't you give me the outside perspective looking in on the United States right now?
Man, it's entertainment beyond your wildest dreams. Like, how can you not enjoy, you know, the shit coinery that's going on? So basically what they want to do is, you know, give birth to an army of vigilantes. and pay them with rubbish to do whatever they want.
I think vigilantes are great. I don't think they should be government
loaded. Sure, of course. But usually, you know, if somebody's going to do something like this, give them something that has value. You know, if you give them something that's worth rubbish and they get in trouble or get killed, you know, while doing it, well, what kind of shit deal is that, right? But these are the signs of the end, man. This is the end. This is what the end looks like. Nothing makes sense. Absolute chaos. It's like living in Gotham City. It's like the Joker is all over the place, you know, hopping and laughing and, you know, making a circus out of everything. And that's it, man. Enjoy.
I'd rather them give me Pokemon cards or Beanie Babies or something than ice raid coins. Rick, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, this whole story is mental. I mean, you know, what might be a smarter tactic, right? Because what they're going to try and do is, for some reason, they're going to try and employ you to go and round up illegal immigrants, but they're going to pay you in this like fake token, which is actually worth nothing at all. And the whole thing is completely bonkers, right? I think what might be a smarter move for the Americans here is, you know, launch this thing, but then deport anybody who's retarded enough to download it and try and make money deporting people and getting paid in shitcoins, because that would actually maybe raise the average IQ in the US significantly, right? Because if you're dumb enough to get excited about being a snitch for the government, that, and they're not even paying you in dollars, man. Like, dollars are fake and made up anyway. They're like, nah. We're not even going to give them dollars. We're just going to give them some random coin that we made. And then imagine being the immigrant who gets deported, right? By some crazy idiot, right? Who's like gone and decided, I'm going to make a million by getting these USAID tokens, right? Like, he rounds you all up, gets the cops on you, whatever. You get deported. And you know that this guy's not going to make any money either. So he did it all for free. Ah, just the whole thing. Like, man, the clown show continues, right? Like, we had what was it, the first Bitcoin president, and now we've got reserves of ADA and XRP and now these ICE token. I give up, man. Like, the whole thing is an absolute joke.
No, but you know what this can do? This is going to give rise to another token, you know, like modern warfare, you know, Mortal Kombat coin. You know, now go out and kill whoever snitches on someone else, you know, and you get paid now with, you know, Mortal Kombat coins. Whoa, okay, that's cooler. So let's say how many people, you know, run to that project. All in all, man, like, what do I keep telling you? Very soon, those 500 million privately owned assault weapons are no longer going to be decorative in the United States. You are headed to a shit show that no Hollywood producer is capable of imagining right now. And brace yourself, like, we're laughing about it now, but it's the farthest thing from a laughing matter.
Yeah, it is scary, because this is the sort of thing. And like, to be clear, like, we live in a welfare state. We can't have illegal immigrants in our country for obvious safety concerns. And because they can't, like, we already don't have the money to support the programs that we propose to the citizens. It's like, I understand.
But Joe Biden did. Yeah, he had the money.
Great job.
What are you talking about?
But like, I understand the concept of like, hey, if we're going to have a state, if we're going to have government programs, then we can't have an unlimited number of people entering the country who we don't know, haven't vetted. Like, I understand that there's like national security interest here. But this is the sort of thing that sets a really bad precedent for everything else. Like, ICE should just go do its job. And I mean, that's it. ICE should do its job and leave us alone. And like, we should all get up, work, be productive, and focus on not earning shit coins and, you know, focus on bringing efficiency and productivity to the economy. Like, that's what people should be doing.
Ah, man, listen, it's a great deal. It's a great deal. Like, go and get your vaccine, right? And then you'll get a free burger and some fries, and then go and deport some illegal immigrants and you'll get some free tokens. Like, what a great system.
Yeah, but what if somebody rats you out for being too productive? Now you're making them look like shit, right?
And you pay, you give them rat tokens or something and a milkshake. I don't know. I don't know how the US works anymore. Nothing makes any sense.
I think that's a fair assessment and a good place to wrap it up. Guys, thanks for doing this. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. We always appreciate it. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Make sure you have your Bitcoin protected the right way, especially if you are in Europe right now and they want to take your savings. There is only one way that you can prevent that from happening: Bitcoin in 100% self-custody. We can help you. We also help with privacy phones, online privacy, a Plan B residency option. So everything you need to be self-sovereign, to live on your terms. Again, that's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Gents, always a pleasure. Always a wild ride with you too. I love it. We'll catch up again in a few days.
Thank you, Michael.
Cheers.
Thanks,
guys.
Michael.